It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in, friends, Yinzers, countrymen, to the latest edition of Cabali and Mac. Make sure you're following on all the social media. You know how that works, at Cabali and Mac, whether it's on Facebook, TikTok, of course, on X, where you may be watching the show, and on Instagram. Hold on, I got to double check, see how many old Instagram followers we got now, up over 400, 403. So when we get to 500, somebody is going to win a $100 gift certificate to our good friends at Yoli's Cucina and Craft House in Jefferson Hills. There it is. That little thing right there has been burning a hole in my desk for a few weeks now, and we're trying to give it away. So go follow on Instagram and you may win it. And of course, if you subscribe on YouTube, you know that the first 3,018 followers will have a chance to win autographed Will Hard Steelers helmet or an autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin leather vest. Look at that. That's pretty. Keeping it in the plastic to keep it protected.
Kaboom. You can wear it. You can wear it and drink some beer.
What?
I got my kid doing that last night. Bear.
What?
Got another bear.
What?
Nice light, a mango. Bear.
Two irons. What? Three irons. What? Yeah, a mango.
I got him doing that last night. So
We're at 2,745 subscribers on YouTube. So you're running out of time to get in on that. We'll pick somebody when we get to 3,018. Like I said, Will Howard. And then whoever we pick will have the choice. They can take the Will Howard autographed helmet or the autographed Stone Cold vest. All thanks to our good friends at First and Goal Collectibles out at South Hills Village. Visit them on firstandgoalsports.com. And if you didn't yet, get your ticket for the in-store signing with Marc-Andre Fleury this Saturday from noon to 2 at First and Goal out at South Hills Village. We appreciate their support of the show. Speaking of Fleury and the Penguins, I saw you going back and forth a good bit this morning, Kaboom, with our good friend Josh Yowie arguing about the Steelers. Josh gets very, very agitated when the Steelers lose.
Yeah.
And I love it because he's a fan, right? Like, he's been covering the Penguins for as long as you've been covering the Steelers. So 2 decades plus. And so I don't want to say he's jaded towards the Penguins, but he's been around it long enough that he's still a fan when it comes to the Steelers. And he gets very agitated very quickly. And I love watching the back and forth.
He's still a fan of the Penguins, still a fan of the Pirates. But, you know, sometimes I got to try to put him in his place as he continues to rip on the Steelers. I mean, rightfully so. I mean, the team he covers has kind of been in a little drop for the past 8 years themselves, right? No playoff series wins. 8 playoff wins total. Missed the playoffs, what now, 3 straight years with another 4 look staring him down the face here. So, I mean...
Yeah,
you go through some of this, right?
I saw he threw the pair of cups in 16 and 17 back at you and questioned where Tomlin's most recent Super Bowl title is.
It doesn't matter if it's 8, 9 years ago or it was 15 years ago. It's too long, right? I mean, it doesn't really matter.
It's too long for all of them. We're Pittsburghers. We want our teams to win championships, damn it. That's what they're built for or should be built for, not just for bobbleheads and pierogies. You know what I'm saying? Thanks to Southwest Greens for supporting the show. They're the best. They've been on board since the very beginning. Grass that never needs to be mowed, watered, fertilized. You can have the best looking yard in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance. Their secret remains in their installation procedures and fantastic artificial turf that looks and feels and acts like real grass. The best in Pittsburgh. Professional installers that have refined what they call an art. It's an art, Kaboom, of synthetic turf installation that's going to give the perfect lawn solution for you. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Go check them out. Tell Jake that Cabali and Mac sent you. All right, so it was a Tomlin Tuesday, and we've got plenty of Mike Tomlin clips. I know some people go, I don't want to hear what he had to say, but I think... What?
Let me preface this whole thing.
What?
And I tweeted this yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Why are we taking everything he says in this public setting as gospel? As why do we actually believe what he says? Or why do we think that he even believes what he says? We parse things down to the absolute nub of everywhere. Well, what's he mean by this? What's he saying about this?
Right.
You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to put his 25 minutes worth in and get the hell out of there.
just here so he doesn't get fined, right? Marshawn Lynch style.
We're sitting there, we're trying to read between the lines. Trust me, whatever he says in there does not mean that's what he feels or what he says to them. But yet we sit here and we get so upset over some of the words he says, and he puts zero thought or effort into that.
Really?
Yes.
See, now, I think he puts a lot of thought and effort. We talked about the Hard Knocks curse that may exist over this team now, 2-6 since appearing on Hard Knocks in season last year. Judging by what I saw during that show, I think he puts a lot of thought and effort into what he tells the team. And I think he recycles what he tells the team probably Tuesday morning or whatever he plans to tell them on Wednesday, whenever he gets the whole team together. I think he recycles what he tells them in large part what he tells the media on Tuesday afternoon. So I do think there's a lot of thought and effort put into it, but not specifically for the media. He takes what he wants to tell the team and spits it out with a little bit of PR shine on it. You know what I mean? Buffs it up real nice.
He's dealing with 53 different people, 53 different personalities. So what maybe somebody can take publicly in that locker room is something somebody else cannot. He has to really work the room there. Now, behind closed doors, when he got the pointer out, he's going to rip you a new ass, you know, and there's not much you can do about that. I mean, I've heard many stories about if it's the Monday or the Wednesday meeting and he's putting up clips and you're on there and you're like, oh, shit, you know. He's going to scare me a new one here. I mean, but for some reason, he feels not to do that publicly.
Well, that's one of the reasons, and I know people don't like to hear this, but it's one of the reasons. Well, first of all, they're grown-ass men, so I think he understands that if he rips them behind the scenes, he doesn't need to do it in public as well 99.99% of the time. But I also think it's one of the reasons guys like to play for him is because they hear the same things everybody else hears around the league, that he's going to treat you like a man. He's going to tell you when you need to be accountable and responsible behind the scenes, but then not rip you to shreds in front of the media. I know people don't like to hear how guys like to play for Tomlin. They look at that and go, well, big deal. What's that gotcha? Yeah. But it is something that players respect.
Yeah. You know, he says it all the time, you know, maybe almost flip it. You know, I know you're looking for a pound of flesh, and I'm not going to give it to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't say that yesterday, but I mean, he said that numerous times before, that basically saying, I know what you're trying to get out of me, and you're not going to get there. But as long as he does it behind closed doors and it gets reaction, I don't give a rat's ass what he tells the media in this setting at all. I mean, I don't really care. And to spend hours and hours on, you know, what does he mean by this? You know, whatever comes to his head at that time. Do you think he feels really good about his offensive line?
No, I guess I don't really think good about it. Before we start going through a couple of these clips that I think are worth that you said you thought were interesting, and a couple more that I found that I thought were interesting. Before we go through them, do you think he really doesn't? Because there's two sides to this. Do you think he doesn't think about what he's going to say, or he does think about, okay, I need to be careful in the way I convey this message?
I think he's just been seasoned, I guess, to just give boring, nondescript answers. I think that's just what he's learned over the 18 years. I mean, now if he wants something out there specific, then obviously he's going to go down that route. You know, if he's going to say, yeah, you know, I mean, a lot of times when you ask about the refs, they sometimes just say, you know, whatever, that's beyond my pay grade, and we're not even worrying about that. But sometimes if he wants it known that, hey, we're getting screwed, hey, I turned it into New York and whatever. So I think he's calculated on a handful of things that he wants to get across. Yesterday, I don't think there was any, you know, outline provided for him before he walked in there.
So maybe I'm one of those people that's parsing through what he has to say too much. Yeah. I think there can sometimes be insight gleaned from some of his responses that have a common thread. And I'll show you what I mean in a couple of these clips from yesterday. You can tell me I'm making too much out of something if you think I am. I'm sure you wouldn't hesitate to tell me that you think I'm being over-exaggerating and stupid. It wouldn't be the first time you told me that. But one of the first things he had to say was during that opening statement about the run defense.
Improve our run defense, and I thought particularly initially we did. But there's an attrition component to the game, and our lines got a little thin at various points in the game. I thought we felt the effects of that. I know certainly we were somewhat limited with some of the schematics that we would like to deploy because we had some new people in there, and we're relatively new to this season. And so we weren't as good as I'd like for us to be in terms of our midstream adjusting in terms of some of those things. And so I'm excited about getting the collective back to work here with a 6-day preparation cycle and effort to address some of those things.
So here's what's interesting to me. And look, he's talking when he said he used the word attrition about 37 times yesterday, obviously talking about Alex Highsmith leaving the game. Isaiah Loudermilk is going to be out weeks. He called it with a high ankle sprain. Highsmith doesn't sound like his ankle sprain is as serious as Loudermilk's, but he's out this week. They're still obviously without Deshaun Elliott, Derek Harmon, JPJ on the perimeter. It sounds like both inside linebackers, whether it was Queen with a little bit of an injury or Peyton Wilson just puking his guts out on the sideline, maybe, whatever it may have been, we're dealing with issues. Slay dealing with a little bit of something that may hold him back early in the week, as he said. But it sounds like he's attributing a lot of what happened to, yeah, we were just trying to keep guys on the field.
Yeah, I mean, not only that is keep guys on the field, some of the guys that he had out there were younger guys or guys, as he said, that are new to them. So sometimes you do have to dial back a little bit when that happens. I mean, does he mean attrition? They were getting tired? They were getting winded? I don't know about that. I mean, you had guys out there that were probably playing more snaps than they have played in a while. When was the last time Chuck Clark played that many snaps, you know? So, I mean, that's probably what he was talking about now. And as I said the other day, I don't know what day it was. I agree with him on the schematics had to be dialed back a little bit because I think they had different things with the three linebacker set, and that had to go away 10 snaps into the game. So in some regard, that is true. But on the flip side of that, do you think anybody tuning in who are wearing their black and gold gives a flying shit?
No.
If they're attrition and they're tired and excuses?
No, because that's where the coaching is supposed to step up and supposed to fill the gaps when you've got maybe lesser talented players with scheme adjustments. And you talked about midstream adjustments.
There is no adjustments. I mean, there haven't been any, put it that way. Now, if there haven't any been because of some of the injuries, or is it just arrogance? I mean, does he just think his guys are better? Hey, we're just going to do what we do, brother.
If that's the case, and like we've got much larger issues and it is as bad as some people would make it out to be, because as a head coach or even a defensive coordinator in Terrell Austin's case, like you can't look at your defensive line and be like, nah, we're just as good with Loudermilk in there or Logan Lee in there or whoever it may be as we are with Cam Hayward, for example. Like that's a willful ignorance and bordering on arrogance that like you've got to understand that some guys aren't as talented as others, you know, like your kid's playing fall ball right now. Right. It's fall ball, you know, kids get to rotate through all the positions and everybody gets an equal amount of playing time more or less. But like, you know, that if you put little Ethan out in right field, I don't know if there's a kid named Ethan on your kid's team or not. I'm just picking a name. You put little Ethan out there in right field, and he's usually picking daisies and chasing after fireflies, like lightning bugs. Sorry.
not fireflies, not lightning bugs. It's lanternflies.
Lanternflies, yeah. And you know, you put little Ethan out there in right field, you better be prepared to scream at Ethan when the ball is hit his way because he's not paying attention. It's a terrible analogy, but like you need to be prepared to change your scheme if it's Loudermilk and Logan Lee instead of, again, I'll use Cam Hayward as an example.
But sometimes you have to keep that scheme in place because you don't have much other options. And I think that might have been what we saw a little bit of when Highsmith went out with Watt. I mean, you just look at any of the film and you see what the hell's happening, man. It's not very difficult. You sit there and complain and whine about TJ Watt making $41 million bucks and doesn't have a sack. Man, there was times he was triple teamed.
Well,
that was on the passing situations. They are running to the opposite side of the field the majority of the time, away from him, which makes it very difficult for him there. And they're not moving him around because he's only probably averaging about 4 snaps per game on the flip side.
So less than that. I'm going to give you the numbers, and I couldn't get the graphic to load up correctly, but I grabbed it from NFL Live. Orlovsky was talking about it yesterday on ESPN. Opponents rushing against the Steelers through the first 2 weeks. 34 carries away from TJ Watt have averaged 6 yards a carry. 13 carries towards TJ Watt's side have averaged 2.5 yards per carry. TJ Watt has lined up left of center from the offense's perspective, left of center 99 of 103 snaps. Issue here is twofold, right? You know, teams are going to funnel their offense away from TJ Watt. That's to be expected, right?
Yep.
So you better adjust to that. And if you don't adjust to it, then you're basically caving and saying, well, yeah, I guess we got to just count on Highsmith or Herbig or Sawyer, whoever's going to be on that side, to be able to take what they're getting. It doesn't make sense to me that when you've seen some, and this isn't these two games, the first time teams have decided to run away from TJ Watt. It makes sense. It's happened plenty of times over the last 9 years. So, you know, teams are going to do that. You better scheme something up to address what other teams perceive as a weakness on your defense and see if you can't bolster it. And through 2 weeks, we haven't seen it at all.
Well, when you cut the field in half like that, that should benefit the rest of your defenders, right?
Should.
You know, I'm running that to that side. That right side of the offense defensive line should be making tackles, making plays, but that's just not happening right now. But hey, when you make $41 million bucks a year, you got to expect stuff like this. And I mean, this is nothing new. It's nothing new of them running away. Maybe to this degree, it's something new. But I know they had so many big-time plans of moving him around to prevent this from happening. You know what? Make Seattle be a right-handed running team instead of a left-handed running team. Let's see how that works out for a while.
Yeah.
But I think maybe they had that in mind against Seattle, and the Highsmith stuff just threw that all off, maybe. But Herbig can play both sides, too.
That's my point. We'd acknowledge at this point that in his second full season, Herbig is talented enough and smart enough to move around as well. And maybe Sawyer isn't because he's a rookie. But I think talent-wise, athletically, Sawyer is able to do some good things as well. I thought he looked good on Sunday. So, you know, this is where you either start to scheme things up that address what teams are doing to you, or you bury your head in the sand and say, nope, we're just going to do what we do. Or, and that's what's going to be curious on Sunday in Foxborough.
Or the flip side of that, are you just arrogant and you're aware of this and just say, my guy's better than your guy?
You could have the best guy in the world, clearly.
I understand that, but I'm talking about their point of view.
No, I know, and I'm arguing with that perspective. You could have the best player. You could have the best defensive player in the league, in the world. Doesn't mean jack shit if the ball never goes in his direction.
Yeah. You know what's been all downhill, and I somehow blame Artie Smith for that. After last year, week one, when TJ just destroyed the Falcons, and he came out and basically said our Superman won the game for him, and we took their Superman out, which was safety, whatever his name was.
Bates.
Ever since that point on, I think teams were they should have been aware of him.
Yeah.
But had pretty much, hey, we better go to extremes here a little bit. I mean, on the pass rushing alone, you only get a handful of occasions to rush the passer. And when you're getting a chip by a tight end, a tackle blocking you and the fullback coming out and hitting you at the same time, you're doing your job if you're TJ Watt. Somebody else has to do their job.
Absolutely. Somebody does. Those other guys have to step up. But it would be nice if the scheme and the fit and everything that they put together,
it's not only that,
the game plan helps.
It's the back end, too. I mean, Slay and Ramsey, man, you can sit here and say, oh, Ramsey hasn't played very well. He's given up big touchdowns. My goodness, they're putting him in a situation 2 weeks in a row to fail. He has to choose. He's damned if he does or damned if he doesn't. And it happened to Garrett Wilson. It happened to first play a touchdown the other day. They're not helping those guys out. They're playing very similar, not disguising anything. They're playing cover one. They're playing cover three and saying, I'm almost at the point that they think that they're just like, you know, back to the training camp, you know, we're just have unbelievable players. Our players are better than your players.
But again, the best defensive back in the league, the Seahawks ran the exact same play on the touchdown that you're talking about, the double crossers.
Not only the same play, same formation, they had the same defense, they didn't adjust. I mean, the whole shebang was the same. I mean, if it happens 3 weeks in a row, oh my goodness.
If the Patriots don't try that play on the first series, they're insane. Same play. Same play. Tight formation, wide receivers cross at about 12 yards out. Watch the corners follow their guy across the field and watch Ramsey have to sit there and pick and go, I can only cover one person.
Yep. I mean, like I said, that's why the scheme, once again, I don't know if it's the scheme or they just think that their players are just that much better than everybody else. Because you listen to Tomlin in June and July, I would think that if part of it is he thinks his players are just that damn good.
I don't know how many times I can say, I'm going to say it till I'm blue in the face today. You can have the best players in the world. They're still human. Like, they can't replicate themselves like Predator and jump from one spot to another. Like, they can't cover two people at once. And that's piggybacking off the fact, too, that you're putting Ramsey back there in center field when, I get it, you know, Seattle has Jaxon Smith-Njigba. So why wouldn't you put your best cover guy, in this case, Ramsey, on a legit wide receiver one? Like, that would have made a ton of sense. Have Ramsey follow Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and then just play man, and your safety over the top maybe isn't all fired important because your corners aren't running behind the wide receivers. I don't know.
Hey, he sure made it sound like that was going to be the plan back in June when they acquired Jalen Ramsey. You know, he's the number one. He's going to follow the best guy around, blah, 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 blah. That's not what's happening right now. I mean, even when they do play, you know, man defense, it's like there's no press man there at all.
No, they're playing 8 yards off the ball.
It's just been a little bit of a disaster. And I think now who are we blaming it on now? I mean, I saw a lot of people messaging me yesterday saying, how's Terrell Austin terrible? Wait a second. I thought Mike Tomlin ran this defense.
I mean, both of them have to take the heat for it.
Yeah, well, there's only one guy's going to take the heat for it. But
well, yeah, in the end, one guy will pay with his job. The other one won't.
Well, Austin's a guy. I mean, he's a guy that, like I said, I think he makes the calls on game day. I think the plan's put together by a bunch of people and with a heavy hand with Mike Tomlin during the week.
Thanks to Impact HVAC for supporting the show. They've been awesome. Another group that's been on board from the very beginning here on Cabali and Mac, and we appreciate them. Whether your AC is crapped out here towards the end of what counts as officially summer and you'd still like to get it looked at, by all means, get a hold of them on Facebook or give them a call at Impact HVAC PGH or 412-297-1852. Or you want to get that furnace checked up before you have to fire it up when it gets cold here later in the fall. Either way, they'll come on out. Any kind of maintenance, repair, replacement, they got you. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook or 412-297-1852. One of the things...
Wait, let's stop.
What?
What are we? We're 25 minutes in?
Yeah.
Everybody who's watching this, start with me. Happy birthday to you.
Why?
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
And many more on Channel 4, right?
Yeah. I would have, back in the day, if Sally Wick, I think, no, I was going to say, I think Sally may have sang happy birthday to me once years ago.
Come on, Chris.
Thank you, Kaboom. Yes.
Where are you, 21?
Something like that.
You have to be pushing 50, right?
46, Jagoff.
Damn, you're a young pup.
46 today. And I will celebrate by doing the same thing we do every day. And then
at least going, crack yourself open a mango and go sit out on the, make a fire tonight.
I have to take my daughter driving because her driver's test is in a week.
Did you ever get that car? I forgot to ask.
Yeah, we got it.
But then it smelled like shit, so you had to like take it back?
It smelled like the Marlboro Man had died in it. So we took it back a couple times, and the people at Bowser were awesome. They ran it through the deodorizing thing like 3 times. And it's all good now. And so we're going to take my daughter out driving. I'm going to take her down to Bell Vernon and let her practice the course, practice the old parallel parking.
There's a course?
I mean, you can look it up, like what the actual, like where they take
you. You know, I don't know how you did your...
I went to Bridgeville.
No, you know what we had to do? We had to do like an obstacle course. I never took it out of first gear of a stick.
You did
never
the serpentine.
Like never this. Broke. Yeah, never broke like 8 miles per hour. And then like, you're good. Go knock yourself out.
That's ridiculous.
And by the way, the kid's addicted to the Dumpkins dude wipes now. Every time I see go in the bathroom, it's open. I'm like, what are you doing? I like the smell of them. Well, because they need Christmas ones.
I saw they're going to have Christmas ones.
What's it called? Like, it's called something really funny, too. What a great name. It was like Poop something or another.
I don't know. I saw them respond to your tweet last night, and I was like, man.
Oh, he just like, oh, I'm like, how many are these you using? I said, don't be like using them all. Yeah, I'm like, first of all, you're not taking the crap, so why are you using them?
Because he likes the smell. What's wrong with that?
I think, you know.
Do you have a deal with Dude Wipes worked out yet? Like, why has that not happened?
You send me some stuff.
Okay, good.
You send me some stuff, man. I'm a whore shill as it is, man. You send me stuff, I'm doing. I mean, Dude Wipes are a very good product. So,
you stand behind something you believe in. I'm
stand behind, huh? Let me see. What's the name of those Dude Wipes? As I get distracted here.
You're completely distracted and lost at this point. Totally gone.
I don't know where the hell they're at.
I guarantee I will find this faster on your Twitter feed than you will find it on your own. I don't know. It's not that hard to search for this stuff. So when did you put up the Dude Wipes post?
Granny shifted, not double clutching like you should. I was watching Fast and Furious again last night.
You're just reading your own tweets.
I am. Okay, they're here. I found it. They're called Dingle Bells.
Dingle Bells. There you go.
Now, what flavor is Dingle Bells?
It's not a flavor. No. It's a scent. You're not supposed to eat Dude Wipes.
It must be cranberry. And I said to the boy, I said, hey, what about Thanksgiving? He goes, how about turkey? I'm like, you want your butt to smell like a turkey?
No, like a nice, I'm a big fan of the Christmas tree scent.
That is slammy.
Like a pine tree scent. That's perfect for like a holiday. That's the best. Like we burn a pine tree candle as soon as we get the tree up around Christmas time. That's perfect. Makes it smell real.
I used to have a real tree, but you know, too much hassle.
It is. It's pain in the
ass. Plus it's expensive as all balls.
Yeah, it is. Back to Tomlin from yesterday. Still sticking with this defense that
Dingleberry
is a complete and total. Yeah. Dingleberry. We do read the comments. We just don't read all of them live on the show. I mean, but thank you.
Oh, you want the one that tells me that I look like I'm stoned?
No, I missed that one. Anyway,
that's what you call like 2 hours of sleep there, whoever Stone Boy is.
Sticking with the defense.
Bed at 4 a.m. 4 a.m.
And since you brought up the secondary, he was asked about the secondary.
What you're referring to is the communication component of it, and certainly, like last week, for example, the four starters in our secondary were all new to us. And so it's probably more most of my concerns are centered around that, our level of cohesion and communication, given the fact that so many guys are new to us.
Okay, so this is one of those things I was talking about where I think you start to get a common through line and a common thread in some of his answers during a Tuesday press conference. And the one thing we're seeing is this thing about communication and guys being new and not having a lot of time together and cohesion. Jerry Dulac asked him a question at one point about the defensive line, and he brought up whether it was because of attrition or guys being new. You know, he just brought it up in regards to the secondary. We'll talk about the offensive line in a second, because we'll have to talk about something that wasn't nearly as bad as the defense the last 2 weeks. He keeps talking about cohesion and communication and people that are new. This is why you have guys play in the preseason. They ain't got to play 40 snaps a week, all three games, but this is why you play guys in the preseason, so that they can get used to each other, used to the adjustments they're going to have to make once the regular season starts happening. I understand it happens all across the league now that there's only three preseason games, and September football can get kind of sloppy all over the NFL. But it can't be an excuse. You can't keep telling me about communication and cohesion week after week after week when you don't try to do something about it before the games count.
Well, back to the original point of them, the preseason games. I mean, not only the preseason games, I think, hurt them here early on, the lack of preseason games, but I think the lack of quality reps in the preseason, in training camp as well. I think when you add those two together, you have that. But, I mean, what are we talking about? I mean, football is still a simple game, man. Just whip the guy in front of you, man. I mean, I understand we get to that point of communications in the back end here, and that's more, I think, red zone type of issues right there. But Kenneth Walker running for 19 yards on 3rd and 19 for a touchdown. Is that communication, or is that just somebody getting his butt
whipped? Your ass kicked, yeah.
So, I mean.
But some of the blown coverages in the secondary, guys running free across the middle on 3rd and long. And then, again, we'll play the clip about the offensive line in a second, but he brings it up in regards to their cohesion, too. Well, you didn't play your starting offensive line together at all in the preseason, Mike. You played your starting secondary together for like 8 snaps in the preseason and then didn't put them back out on the field when they had a crappy series. Like, you didn't play Hayward or Watt or Queen or, you know, so many guys did not play during the preseason that, yeah, cohesion and communication and all that stuff that you work out when the games don't count, it's being worked out now when the games do count.
Yeah. I mean, hindsight's 20/20, right? I mean, maybe he should have stuck to his old plan. I was the guy that said that they didn't really need any, especially Aaron Rodgers didn't need preseason. I don't know if the defense needed it as well, but I was a big component of having that offensive line getting more snaps than they did in the preseason, which was, what, 25, 30 at the most, right? But we're at the point now they've played, what, 120 snaps? I mean, they should be past that, or at least moving past that part of the cohesion. Maybe not offensive line, because you have to understand, with offensive line, this is the most difficult position, I do believe, in sports, because everything they do is not natural. They're trying to run backwards while the guy's running a 4-2 at you. And there's a reason why it takes sometimes 2-3 years for these guys to really hit their stride, because it's not an easy position to learn. So I think that's still going to need some time moving forward as well, but I would like to see him get some more. So
I would hope that going forward into future years, that this would be, because every year when things break down, what do we hear about? We hear about communication. And now we're getting cohesion as a part of the mix. And guys are new. You got this many new guys involved. Like I said, you better scribble this down on a little post-it, slap it up on your desk so that you see it next July and August. Play the starters in the preseason so that they get used to playing with one another. You can't make it an excuse when you decide to go out of your way to not play as many guys during the preseason as they did. Communication and cohesion, that's on you then. You decided not to play them together. And so if they're having issues.
It's a fine line, though. I mean,
nobody wants to take the risk of somebody of somebody important getting hurt in the preseason. I get it, but it's football.
Yeah.
People are going to get hurt. And you still need to have your guys out there in the midst. And I get it. Preseason is very bland and vanilla. They're not adjusting as much to what they may be seeing. But at the very least, get them used to being out there on the field and making whatever few adjustments they do have to make so that teams aren't beating you with the same play week after week, or that the offensive line is understanding where the guy next to them is going to be. It's just, it's frustrating for me after watching so many guys not play at all during the preseason that's an excuse now. Communication, cohesion, and guys who are new.
Yeah. Next thing we'll hear is Green Dot, right?
Yep.
Green Dot. I know. But you look at it, if you look at the back half of the defense and you're looking guys like Elliott out and you got Thornhill and Clark in there, maybe there's something to that because of the attrition part component of the game because they're new to it. I tell you one thing. I don't know if – now I think about it. How much did Brandon Echols play against Seattle? I know I didn't realize – I didn't see him that very much. That doesn't mean he hasn't played. That's a guy I would like to see play a little bit more.
23 snaps, 35% of the defensive snaps.
Yeah. At that point, I probably would have liked to see him play a little bit more as well. I mean, that's a guy that's been around, smart, been part of through the system through April all the way till now. But I don't know, man.
That's not going to fix it if they still keep running the same coverage against the same play over and over again. The defense, they've got to get some things figured out real quick before Sunday against New England, whether it's on Sunday, Saturday, any day of the week. Archie's, the best place in Pittsburgh for food, drinks, and sports. All the games on all the TVs, ice cold irons, and whatever else you like to drink. And of course, great sandwiches, burgers, flatbread pizzas too, and 80 cent wings Monday through Thursday. The best place to watch the games and get something great to eat and something cold to drink. It's Archie's on the South Side, right down there on Carson. We appreciate Arch supporting the show, supporting the program here on Bali and Matt.
Big trivia night at Arch's, opens at 5 tonight, trivia at 8.
You a big trivia?
You know, what was that goofy game when we were growing up? Trivial Pursuit. There's a good one.
Yeah.
I was never much of a Trivial Pursuit except, you know, Moops.
The card says Moops.
Sorry, Bubble Boy. Moops. Now, you know, the board games. Do the kids even play board games?
Yeah, my son.
You know, you seem like to me that you would have a day like a Saturday night where Santoro comes out over and you pull out the old Yahtzee or something and have a board game night.
No. If Santoro comes over, we're drinking.
Drinking and have a play some Monopoly.
See, I'm a big fan of Trivial Pursuit, but no one else in the family is because I'm good at it. I have stupid facts.
Is there an updated version of that?
I think so. We have a 90s version too, which is pretty cool. But
considering you're like 52 today.
46, some bitch. But I have a lot of random facts bouncing around in my head, so I'm pretty good at that, and the rest of the family isn't, so we've never played that.
I honestly can see you having a board game night.
No.
Yes, I can see it.
The kid likes Uno. He's a fan of Uno, but then he gets real mad when he loses. There's nothing more pissed off than like a 10 or 12-year-old boy when you drop a wild draw 4 on him. They just melt down.
I always play 52 pickup with the kid, but he's caught on to me.
That's real original.
Oh, he's caught on to not when there's an 8-year-old, right?
I guess.
I bet you play like Yinzopoly or something like that too.
The hell is
So,
Yinzopoly?
or State Collegeopoly or something. Hey, let's go to the
No, I don't have a customized Monopoly.
Oh,
We have regular Monopoly.
I bet you there's a Penn State Monopoly.
Oh, there is. I've definitely seen it at the bookstore before, and in the gift shops, the family clothesline, and all
Penn
the sit down college
Stateopoly
app.
board game.
You can buy. You should get me that for my birthday.
I
That'd be a nice
should have.
present. Just send it directly to the house. What the hell were we talking about? Oh, yeah.
What a terrible game.
Well, if they had Bell Vernonopoly, what the hell would they put on the board?
Just a Tavern. Old Unimart back in the day.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see something here. What I it's really hard for me to see here of what they have. Here we go. Oh, the Shields building, only rent for $22. What's the Shields building?
That's the administration building. That's where you go for like you fill out your financial aid form.
Well, this is perfect. This is perfect for Penn State. Get out of jail free card.
You're having a
I'm having
blast
way
with
too
this.
much fun tonight. Okay, go.
It's 10 a.m. What do you mean tonight?
I haven't went
Oh,
to bed yet, so what the hell?
the offense, because it wasn't great this week, but still not nearly as bad as the defense. And Tomlin was asked yesterday. His opening statement included talking about the Patriots' pass rush and how good he thinks it's going to be. You know, the typical lip service he pays to the opposition. And he was asked about, well, his offensive line standing up to this pass rush.
Today, the Patriots are, you know, one of the top teams in the league in terms of sacking the quarterback. How do you feel about this offensive line going in there?
You know, I feel great about it, to be honest with you. You know, I like our group. We're going to continue to get better. We have to work in that spirit. Certainly, we could have been better in some areas last week, but that's life. I like the overall trajectory of the group as a collective and as individuals, and I'm excited about getting them back into the next stadium.
So Okay.
He plays
He feels
life.
really.
He plays life.
Life is actually one we play. They haven't played it in a while, but that's anyway. Does he feel that? Does he really feel that good about his offensive line, averaging 3.5 yards a carry?
I guess considering where it was last week, maybe. Maybe. I mean, you could see little improvements, right? I mean, as long as you continue the small improvements week in and week out, I mean, I saw some improvements. I mean, look at Broderick Jones. I mean,
True.
basically you look at him, but on the flip side of that, Isaac Seumalo picked up the crap, you know, the crap spot of the line against Seattle because he struggled a lot with some of the bigger guys. But if you're looking strictly like that, yeah. I mean, Broderick Jones is a guy that I thought played, I don't know about great, but
Played better than week one, but I mean, it would have
see,
been,
it was acceptable.
would have been impossible to play worse, I think, than week one for Broderick. So, okay.
Well, if you look at it that way, you're already having Zach Frazier playing well. I still think Mason McCormick's playing well. Fatanu, maybe he didn't have his best game, but he's still playing well. I think so. I mean, I think they're moving in the right direction. I don't think they took a step back this week. So if you look at it like that through the black and gold colored glasses, then yeah, I can see what he's talking about. As an overall whole, probably not.
He also felt really good about Jalen
Your
Warren.
own team's run game, where do you feel like you guys took a step forward with Jalen Warren last week?
I thought Jalen came to play. I thought he won one-on-ones. He oftentimes made the first tackler miss. He had a good pad level and downhill finish in his play. I thought as a collective, we still lack a little cohesion at times that is slowing us down. A miscombination here, a misidentification there. It's not one particular person, and that's why I'm just talking more broadly about us just needing to continue to work and solidify all of those things so we don't leave quite as much meat on the bone.
Cohesion and meat on the bone. There it is, cohesion. But I thought Warren looked, obviously he had the 65-yard catch and run.
Which was basically a run. I mean,
yeah.
Let's call it for what it's worth.
I haven't had a ton of questions or worries about Jalen Warren coming into this year.
Well, there's one.
Well, ball security, but I don't think that's something that I worried about to the extent that, oh, he's going to be fumbling a ball every week. As far as running with it, when he does have the ball in his hands, I think we've all decided a couple years ago, we like this kid's running style. We like the fact that he does all the things Tomlin just said that he does, gets downhill, breaks tackles. Like, I've had no problem with Jalen Warren. I actually thought, I was surprised, I think, both of the first two games that Kenny G has gotten the ball as much as he has. I wonder if this is the point, especially with Caleb Johnson having his struggles on the kickoff return, where they really start to lean into Warren and make him a true feature back.
Yeah, I mean, it's a product of who you have available, and Caleb Johnson was supposed to be that number two Kenny Gainwell, but it was for good reason. They didn't feel comfortable enough with him getting the ball, so I think that's why Gainwell got it. I mean, to me, I like Gainwell, but I don't like him, what he did against the Jets, or at least how much he carried the ball early on. I think Warren is your bell cow. I mean, if you have a bell cow, I mean,
yeah,
he still hasn't. I mean, what's his most career carries in the game? 18, something like that. It hasn't been many. So we still really haven't seen a game where they just turn and hand it to him and said, you know, go knock the guy out in front of you for the next 25 plays. We haven't seen that yet. And I think that's when he'll get better, I think.
Yeah. So what did Warren have? Week one, he had, 14, let me see here, 13 touches. Week two, he had, I'm going to have to pull up the number now. So 13 touches week one. Week two, he had 14 plus 18 touches. So, yeah, I think he gets up over the 20-touch mark this week. 3 or 4 catches, 16, 17 carries. And I don't have a problem with that. But they've got to start to break a run here and there. I don't need 80-yard runs, but you got to break off more than – I mean, Kenny Gainwell has their longest run of the year right now, 13 yards.
Well,
you got to start to break through to the second level. And if Warren is breaking fewer tackles, this is something we talked about for years with Najee. If he's not breaking tackles at the line of scrimmage, it gives him an opportunity to then be able to break those tackles at the second level. And you're not breaking the tackles of defensive linemen. Maybe it's a linebacker in the perimeter, or it's a corner or a safety. And that's how you turn a 4 or 5 yard run into an 18, 19, 20 yard run.
And that's how you turn a, you know, 4 or 5 yard run consistently into the play action, deep ball, shot play. And that's why the whole offense is, I think, predicated on the run game, because without the run game, you don't have the play action game. You don't have defensive line, you know, taking that half a step pause because you don't know if he's going to throw the ball or not.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, let me give first of all, a shout out to the old dude too, 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers. 2 plays. That throw off the back foot to Freiermuth 40 yards down the field. Unbelievable. And what about that damn fake handoff that who was it from Seattle? The left defensive end thought that he handed the ball off, and he was like looking around, and Rodgers was laughing. Did you see that one?
I missed that one. Which play was that? Are you talking about?
I'm looking to see. It's.
Because they didn't run a lot of play action this week.
DeMarcus Lawrence. It was the DeMarcus Lawrence Aaron Rodgers one.
Okay.
If you look it up, you could probably find anybody out there. DeMarcus Lawrence Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he did this play action that he just had absolutely no clue where the ball was.
You're right. It's not going to be nearly as effective if you're only averaging 3.5 yards a carry and you're not breaking any long ones. Now you're crawling down a rabbit hole and getting lost again. Here we go.
I'm just looking. Let me look. God damn it. Damn. I see it, but.
Okay, it's fine.
Well, what the point is that's what you need to be able to do, to have his offense click on all cylinders. Okay, I'll tell you right now.
I'm watching it right now. Oh, that was good. Yeah, that was good.
The best part is if you see the television broadcast, they do a close-up to Aaron Rodgers, just has this goddamn smirk like, I got you on that one, my man.
A little shit-eating grin on
there. And we're talking about a guy who's a veteran and you fool like that, too. That's when you're at your best, and when you're running the ball, you can do stuff like that. So that's why you have to get that run game going. That's why we're talking about Jaylen Warren. That's why we're talking about this offensive line. It starts there, then you can play off of that with stuff like what we just saw there.
When are they coming over for the color consultation today? Is that later this afternoon?
I think it's noonish.
Noonish. Higgins Professional Painting going to take care of a little work at Kaboom's house. We appreciate them for jumping on board.
I will not be here, but
you'll be busy. You'll be doing work. That's okay. Your wife's in charge anyway. And they'll do interior. They'll do exterior. Whether it's at home, drywall repair, if you're like us and you got kids who've dinged up the walls over the years, they'll do it all. They'll make your house look brand new and beautiful. Again, Higgins Professional Painting, since Don Higgins founded it 40 years ago, they've been getting it done for people in the Pittsburgh area. Again, residential, commercial, industrial, interior, exterior, they handle it all. When you're ready to discuss your project and have them give you your free estimate, get in touch with them at HigginsProfessional.com or by calling that number on your screen, 412-344-0480. They'll be at Kaboom's house later this afternoon.
You know what? Can we get somebody to sponsor us who does driveway asphalt sealing? Sealing. I can't get anybody to return any of my calls. This is out of control.
It's all about you, huh? What can Kaboom get out of it?
I just want somebody to return my call so I can pay them to do this. Nobody. I'm 0-3. 0-3.
Nobody wants to get back to you.
I'm batting like O'Neal Cruz.
What is Cruz's average? Skeens didn't pitch well last night, I guess. I wouldn't know. I didn't watch much of it.
Apparently nobody else did because nobody was there.
204. He's over 200. There you go. What else do you need, right?
What, 204 strikeouts?
No, 204 batting average.
Oh, I thought Skeens had 204 strikeouts too.
I don't have Skeens numbers in front of me. Sorry.
When do the Pirates actually? I see they got eliminated.
Man, it was that close. Right down to the very bitter end. They were so close.
I wonder if who's had more attendance, the two games of the Banana Balls or the Pirates since then combined.
I mean, how many people were there for Banana Ball? Between the two nights, 75,000?
75, 80. They say 40 each night, so.
Okay. And how many home games have the Pirates had since then?
6 to 10, maybe?
We're
probably close. If they're getting $8,000 a night. They didn't have $8,000 last night, I don't think.
Hold on. I'm going to go check.
Oh, now you're going down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, I am going down a rabbit hole because that's actually an interesting question. So the Pirates on this homestand hold on. When was Banana Ball in town? That was the fifth, right?
It was the first week of school. When did school start?
Oh, so they've had plenty of home games.
August 20 something. That Friday, yeah. August 20. Friday before Labor Day. Yeah.
Yeah. The Pirates have had 8 home games, 9 home games.
You think they've had 80,000?
Yes, they have, because they had, 14 against the Dodgers, 16 against the Dodgers, 20 against the Dodgers. That's 50 right there. 14, 17, and 12 against the Brewers. So you're making me do so much math here. And then they've had 15 and 14 against the Cubs.
Well, I like my theory better.
30, 50, 64.
And when you do the kids, when you help the kid with math.
108.
Okay.
123,000 in 8 home games.
When you help the kid out with math, do you do? I can give you the answer, but I don't know how to get there, man.
Sometimes, yeah.
I'm like, I can tell you the answer, but I have no idea what the hell they want you to do here.
That definitely happens sometimes. Absolutely. You don't do that?
I just did it last night.
One more clip from Tomlin from yesterday that I wanted to play before we move on to some other weird stuff. My nose is literally running off my face. Whatever the hell you had last week, I have it.
Well, I still have it.
Damn it. He was asked about, and I don't know why, I guess because the Eagles beat the Chiefs. This has become a whole storyline all over again around the league. I see the morning shows.
They got cheating.
Talking about it. Jumping off sides, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or false start. But the tush push came up.
The tush push, and as a member of the competition committee, but while it's still a rule, have you thought at all about using it at all?
Yes.
Would you use it with a player other than a quarterback?
I'm not going to get into strategy detail. You guys come to practice. You see what we do. You guys are trying to get me on record. Next.
He doesn't want to talk about the tush push. He was asked if he would do it with Aaron Rodgers as well, or about Aaron Rodgers and quarterback sneaks. And he said he's not concerned about Aaron's durability. He's a physically tough guy.
I'd probably stay away from that, though, if possible.
Yeah, I do think in light, and it was brought up under the perspective of that fourth and one on their own 48 the other day when they decided to punt, you know, any team in the league should be able to get fourth and one. And that's whether you want to do a QB sneak or, I don't care, a dive, whatever the play may be. Like, if you can't get fourth and one, you got issues. Now, you don't want to go try a fourth and one inside your own 35. Okay, I get it. And basically hand the other team 3 points. But if you can't get a fourth and one and you're afraid to try and get a fourth and one on your own, right there at midfield, basically, that's an issue that has to be back of our minds going forward.
I don't know. I don't think they felt they couldn't get it. I don't think they felt that it was worth the risk at the time, maybe. Yeah, I guess that's splitting hairs a little bit there. I mean, would the thought of not getting it be a lot – would it benefit them a lot more than them not going for it? You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to put this in there. The thought of them going and failing greatly outweighed them punting the ball in their minds.
I'd love to see. I know you hate statistics, but what the win?
I hate stupid statistics.
What the win probability was at that?
Now that's a dumb statistic.
Why is it a dumb statistic?
Because, now, you know what? When somebody's really winning, and it's like, oh, you got a 99.2% chance of winning. You know, a 99.2% chance of winning means you're going to win. Then if it's like every time you bring up that high of a percentage, that team ends up losing.
Right.
So the statistic must be flawed then.
No, it's not. It was never
99.2.
It's not telling you 100%. You would have won. I think this comes down to a fundamental misunderstanding of statistics and how they work by Mark Cabali. 99.2% isn't telling you it's absolutely going to win you the game.
It's telling you damn close.
Right, damn close, which means it's not 100%. That's statistics.
Well, I'm guessing it's 199 out of 100.
Hold on. I'm going to find this now. Here we go.
I tried to take statistics in college, but then I dropped it.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, here we go.
I took German Bunders Republic instead.
What the hell?
We listened to Scorpion and watched like German movies.
That's really paying off for you now, isn't it? Here we go. So fourth and one from their own 48 with a minute 40 left in the third quarter. Had they gone for it and succeeded, win percentage would have been 67%. Okay? Win percentage, had they failed, would have been 47%. Punting was right smack dab in the middle at 56%. So, yes, there is a risk involved, but you're giving yourself a better chance to win the game by successfully converting the fourth and one than you are by punting the ball.
You know what my response to that is?
What?
We do not care.
Numbers are stupid. I don't like when numbers make me feel dumb. Okay, I got it. Yeah, the Mike Tomlin "We Do Not Care" clip. I don't know how we went from tush push to statistics, but we got there.
You know who asked that question? That was one Jeff Hathorn.
I thought Jeff asks great questions. Very insightful question.
It was like 3 games in 10 days, blah, blah, blah. We do not care.
We do not care. That's right. Thanks to the guys at the Third Do First In podcast for supporting Kabali and Mac. So we pay it back. We support them here. First responders, Keith and Gino, have amazing stories, great guests on all the time. From the walk of life of people that try to protect and serve us every single day. Firefighters, first responders, go check it out. If you're curious in that realm of life, even though you're not in it, or maybe you're a part of it and you just want to hear other people's stories, Third Do First In, we appreciate them supporting Kabali and Mac.
And we got some roster moves by the Pittsburgh Steelers just announced.
What'd we get?
They signed DeMarvin Leal from the practice squad, put him on the active squad, active roster. Signed linebacker Jawan Bentley, wide receiver Isaiah Hodgins, and tight end Matt Sokol to the practice squad. And they placed Isaiah Loudermilk on the injured list. And bye-bye J.J. Galbraith and Rakeem Jarrett.
So I'll be honest. 1, 2, 3, 4 of those names I had never seen or heard before in my life.
Well, the thing is, Leal now is going to take that
fourth rotational spot, defensive line spot.
A guy who's really never played that spot before.
That should go well
this year. So now you're having Herbig, who's only probably played the majority of the snaps in the game a handful of times in his career, 3, 4 times, maybe 5. Uh-huh. Now you're having him being exposed to 80% of the snaps. And now our neighbor, Jack Sawyer, his snaps were going to go up. And now you got DeMarvin Leal. So all of a sudden, the depth isn't as depthy as it once was.
I'm not nearly as worried about Herbig and Sawyer as I am about Leal and anybody else on the defensive line for that matter. Until they show they can stop the run, that's what I'm most concerned with.
Isn't that part of it, though? You need those guys to...
Well, yeah, you need them to make plays as well. I'm not saying they don't matter. I'm saying I'm not nearly as concerned with those two as I am with anybody on the defensive line.
If you're running away from TJ Watt, like we saw last couple weeks, then guess what? You're running towards DeMarvin Leal, Jack Sawyer, and Nick Herbig. An undersized guy who's a great pass rusher and a playmaker. A rookie who's learning the new position, and a guy that's switching positions once again.
Well, then maybe, just a thought here again, you scheme some things up for this week where those guys are in close proximity to TJ Watt, so that when they try to run at those guys, DeMarvin Leal in particular, they're also running at TJ Watt. Just a thought. I don't want to get too crazy here and reinvent the wheel. But, you know, trying to protect your weaknesses with your greatest strength is something you may be able to cook up if you're somebody who's been in the NFL for 18 years. Just a thought. We talked about quarterback injuries yesterday. I wanted to bring this up real quick because it's not a quarterback injury, but it is somebody else the Steelers are due to play in just a couple of weeks. Aaron Jones, Vikings running back, placed on IR due to a hamstring injury, out a minimum of 4 weeks. Steelers will not face him over in Dublin in a couple of weeks. Kaboom.
Dublin. How about that?
So,
I don't think Aaron Jones. I mean, is McCarthy going to be back by then too, right?
Probably not. Sounds like Wentz will be the guy for a couple of weeks.
You remember the old Wentzylvania?
Yes, I do.
Boy, that's one touch. You know,
he cooked him that day, didn't he? Didn't he throw for 300? That was his first 300-yard game, I think, Carson.
Isn't that when Chase Claypool had like 3 touchdowns?
You may be right. Is that against Philly? I thought that was against Cleveland, but I could be wrong.
I thought it was against Philly.
You're probably right. Or you're just saying that now to try and make me look dumb. Both things are entirely possible. One more thing I wanted to bring up, but first I want to thank the Dan Heck team for supporting the show. HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are the people to help you out, whether you're moving into a bigger home as the family grows, looking to downsize as you become empty nesters, anything and everything in between. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. The Dan Heck team here to help you. HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K. HeckTeamHomes.com. We appreciate them being on board since the very beginning as well. One more thing. What do I always say about seeing, if not Yinzers, at the very least, Pittsburgh fans or people in Pittsburgh gear all over the world, Kaboom. Pittsburgh, everywhere, always. I saw this photo posted on social media this morning. I don't know if you've heard about this. I guess there have been these massive protests over in Nepal, overthrowing the government or something. I don't know. Yeah. It's been wild. Some of the video I've seen.
You figured I would know this by now, but I don't.
You do not? No. You're out of the loop, I guess.
Well, I'm actually in the loop, but...
You're out because you're not paying attention. I got you. I'm going to save you on this one. there are these massive protests taking place over in Nepal, and... I saw this photo posted. Do you see what I see in the middle of that photo? I mean, you got people up on top of
the Honestly, you got to be a little... Can we zoom in a little bit here?
You want me to zoom in? I can do that.
Are we sure it's a what? Because that shirt I...
Bang. There it is. That's a TJ Watt jersey in the middle of the overthrow of a government in East
Asia. That's the guy's hair? Or is that just a...
No, that's somebody standing in front of him. That's not all his hair.
Because you know, you saw the jersey that I saw the other day, right?
Which
number
one?
60, Henry. Number 60, Henry, and number 90 on the side. I don't know. It was just something,
just a wild misprint.
My in-laws' grandmother somehow got it, and they're like, "Who's this guy?" I'm like, "Nobody." But the best part was 60 Henry, and there was a 90 on the arm of just one. So we had to make sure that was correct.
That's a disaster. I hope they didn't pay more than $2 for that thing, wherever they found it.
It was a nice shirt.
Just not a real person.
Stitched all in, yeah.
Right there in the middle of the overthrow of the government in Nepal, a TJ Watt fan. What do you think of that?
It's probably a Yinzer.
I just came over here because I got vacation time, and hey, my name's Dale. I'm from Carnegie. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you know, why are you wearing that? Well, you know, my parents used to.
My dad worked at Claritin Works in the 80s. We moved to Nepal because he got a better job.
We go down to Brookline.
All right,
maybe he's a relative.
Probably. That's going to do it for today's edition of the show, because my nose is about to explode, and I don't want that to happen in front of everybody.
Nobody cares.
Nobody does. So I'm going to spend my birthday maybe taking some Sudafed. And
don't tell me you're a guy that takes off for your birthday.
No. I get into it all the time.
People that do that really irritate me.
No, I am not a proponent of making the world celebrate your birthday with you. I'm a big proponent of it's just another day. It doesn't make birthdays in our house very fun, but that's just me.
That's why you have a 10-year-old daughter that has the same birthday as you. I have not had a birthday in 10 years.
See? You get to avoid it every single time. All right, that's going to do it for today's edition. Tomorrow, what the hell's tomorrow? Thursday? Right?
You're the old whip here. You're snapping the whip here, man. Maybe we'll do 4 tomorrow.
9:30 sound good?
I thought we were doing Friday.
So you can go talk to the coordinators?
Man, I thought, what are we doing, like every single day now?
Just this week, pal. Some things need to be figured out. We got to talk about. Plus, Rogers will talk today, right? So we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll make sure I'm not standing behind him.
That's exactly where you'll be, making some kind of weird face. Thanks again for support, and don't forget to follow on social media at Kabali and Mac, and of course, subscribe on YouTube, Kabali and Mac. Maybe win yourself an autographed Will Howard helmet or a Stone Cold Steve Austin autographed vest. All kinds of goods up on the social media and the YouTube. Thanks again for watching. We'll see you tomorrow.